Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Fabulous Friday, April 6, 2012. This is the Think and Grow Rich call. I'm excited to be here, excited to be alive. I hope you are feeling the same way, and I have a feeling you are. If you're on this call, you are definitely one who is passionate about life, passionate about growth, passionate about moving forward in a major way toward the achievement of those things which you visualize, whether it be more health, wealth, wisdom, so on, et cetera, et cetera. We have so much to look forward to, folks, and I'm excited to be on this journey with you. Today, we're going to continue on and finish out the chapter on persistence by Napoleon Hill. We had a great discussion yesterday, and Napoleon has some additional pieces of wisdom to give us on this particular topic, so we're going to jump right into it. As these lines are being written, I look up from my work and see before me, less than a block away, the great mysterious Broadway, the graveyard of dead hopes, and the front porch of opportunity. From all over the world, people have come to Broadway seeking fame, fortune, power, love, or whatever it is that human beings call success. Once in a great while, someone steps out from the long procession of seekers, and the world hears that another person has mastered Broadway. But Broadway is not easily nor quickly conquered. She acknowledges talent, recognizes genius, pays off in money, only after one has refused to quit. Then we know he has discovered the secret of how to conquer Broadway. The secret is always inseparably attached to one word: persistence. The secret is told in the struggle of Fanny Hurst, whose persistence conquered the Great White Way. She came to New York in 1915 to convert writing into riches. The conversion did not come quickly, but it came. For 4 years, Miss Hurst learned about the sidewalks of New York from first-hand experience. She spent her days laboring and her nights hoping. When hope grew dim, she did not say, "All right, Broadway, you win." She said, "Very well, Broadway, you may whip some, but not me. I'm going to force you to give up." One publisher, the Saturday Evening Post, sent her 36 rejection slips before she broke the ice and got a story across. The average writer, like the average in all other walks of life, would have given up the job when the first rejection slip came. She pounded the pavements for 4 years to the tune of the publisher's no, because she was determined to win. Then came the payoff. The spell had been broken. The unseen guide had tested Fanny Hurst, and she could take it. From that time on, publishers made a beaten path to her door. Money came so fast, she hardly had time to count it. Then the moving picture men discovered her, and money came not in small change, but in floods. The moving picture rights to her latest novel, Great Laughter, brought $100,000, said to be the highest price ever paid for a story before publication. Her royalties from the sale of that book probably will run much more. Briefly, you have a description of what persistence is capable of achieving. Fanny Hurst is no exception. Wherever men and women accumulate great riches, you may be sure they first acquired persistence. Broadway will give any beggar a cup of coffee and a sandwich, but it demands persistence of those who go after the big stakes. Kate Smith will say amen when she reads this. For years, she sang without money and without price before any microphone she could reach. Broadway said to her, "Come and get it if you can take it." And she did, until one happy day, Broadway got tired and said, "Ah, what's the use? You don't know when you're whipped, so name your price and go to work in earnest." Miss Smith named her price. It was plenty. Away up in figures so high that 1 week's salary is far more than most people make in a whole year. Verily, it pays to be persistent. And here is an encouraging statement which carries with it a suggestion of great significance. Thousands of singers who excel Kate Smith are walking up and down Broadway looking for a break without success. Countless others have come and gone. Many of them sang well enough, but they failed to make the grade because they lacked the courage to keep on keeping on until Broadway became tired of turning them away. Persistence is a state of mind, therefore it can be cultivated. Like all states of mind, persistence is based upon definite causes, among them these: A, definiteness of purpose. Knowing what one wants is the first and perhaps the most important step toward the development of persistence. A strong motive forces one to surmount many difficulties. B. Desire. It is comparatively easy to acquire and to maintain persistence in pursuing the object of intense desire. C. Self-reliance. Belief in one's ability to carry out a plan encourages one to follow the plan through with persistence. Self-reliance can be developed through the principles described in the chapter on auto-suggestion. D. Definiteness of plans. Organized plans, even though they may be weak and entirely impractical, encourage persistence. E. Accurate knowledge. Knowing that one's plans are sound, based upon experience or observation, encourages persistence. Guessing instead of knowing destroys persistence. S. Cooperation. Sympathy, understanding, and harmonious cooperation with others tend to develop persistence. G. Willpower. The habit of concentrating one's thoughts upon the building of plans for the attainment of a definite purpose leads to persistence. H. Habit. Persistence is the direct result of habit. The mind absorbs and becomes a part of the daily experiences upon which it feeds. Fear, the worst of all enemies, can be effectively cured by forced repetition of courage. Everyone who has seen active service in war knows this. Before leaving the subject of persistence, take inventory of yourself and determine in what particular, if any, you are lacking in this essential quality. Measure yourself courageously, point by point, and see how many of the 8 factors of persistence you lack. The analysis may lead to discoveries that will give you a new grip on yourself. Symptoms of the lack of persistence. Here you will find the real enemies which stand between you and noteworthy achievement. Here you will find not only the symptoms indicating weakness of persistence, but also the deeply seated subconscious causes of this weakness. Study the list carefully and face yourself squarely if you really wish to know who you are and what you are capable of doing. These are the weaknesses which must be mastered by all who accumulate riches. 1. Failure to recognize and clearly define exactly what one wants. 2. Procrastination with or without cause, usually backed up with a formidable array of alibis and excuses. 3. Lack of interest in acquiring specialized knowledge. 4. Indecision, the habit of passing the buck on all occasions instead of facing issues squarely, also backed by alibis. 5. The habit of relying upon alibis instead of creating definite plans for the solution of problems. 6. Self-satisfaction. There is but little remedy for this affliction and no hope for those who suffer from it. 7. Indifference, usually reflected in one's readiness to compromise on all occasions rather than meet opposition and fight it. 8. The habit of blaming others for one's mistakes and accepting unfavorable circumstances as being unavoidable. 9. Weakness of desire due to the neglect and choice of motives that impel action. 10. Willingness, even eagerness, to quit at the first sign of defeat, based on one or more of the 6 basic fears. 11. Lack of organized plans, placed in writing where they may be analyzed. 12. The habit of neglecting to move on ideas or to grasp opportunity when it presents itself. 13. Wishing instead of willing. 14. The habit of compromising with poverty instead of aiming at riches, generally absence of ambition to be, to do, and to own. 15. Searching for the shortcuts to riches, trying to get without giving a fair equivalent, usually reflected in the habit of gambling, endeavoring to drive sharp bargains. 16. Fear of criticism, failure to create plans and put them into action because of what other people will think, do, or say. This enemy belongs at the head of the list because it generally exists in one's subconscious mind where its presence is not recognized. Let us examine some of the symptoms of the fear of criticism. The majority of people permit relatives, friends, and the public at large to so influence them that they cannot live their own lives because they fear criticism. Huge numbers of people make mistakes in marriage, stand by the bargain, and go through life miserable and unhappy because they fear criticism which may follow if they correct the mistake. Millions of people neglect to acquire belated education after having left school because they fear criticism. Countless numbers of men and women, both young and old, permit relatives to wreck their lives in the name of duty because they fear criticism. Duty does not require any person to submit to the destruction of his personal ambitions and the right to live his own life in his own way. People refuse to take chances in business because they fear criticism, which may follow if they fail. The fear of criticism in such cases is stronger than the desire for success. Too many people refuse to set high goals for themselves or even neglect selecting a career because they fear the criticism of relatives and friends who may say, "Don't aim so high. People will think you are crazy." When Andrew Carnegie suggested that I devote 20 years to the organization of a philosophy of individual achievement, my first impulse of thought was fear of what people might say. The suggestion set up a goal for me far out of proportion to any I had ever conceived. As a quick flash, my mind began to create some alibis and excuses, all of them traceable to the inherent fear of criticism. Something inside of me said, "You can't do it. The job is too big and requires too much time. What will your relatives think of you? How will you earn a living? No one has ever organized a philosophy of success, and what right have you to believe you can do it? Who are you anyway to aim so high? Remember your humble birth? What do you know about philosophy? People will think you are crazy," and they did. "Why hasn't some other person done this before now?" These and many other questions flashed into my mind and demanded attention. It seemed as if the whole world had suddenly turned its attention to me with the purpose of ridiculing me into giving up all the desire to carry out Mr. Carnegie's suggestion. I had a fine opportunity then and there to kill off ambition before it gained control of me. Later in life, after having analyzed thousands of people, I discovered that most ideas are stillborn and need the breath of life injected into them through definite plans of immediate action. The time to nurse an idea is at the time of its birth. Every minute it lives gives it a better chance of surviving. The fear of criticism is at the bottom of the destruction of most ideas which never reach the planning and action stage. Many people believe that material success is the result of favorable breaks. There is an element of ground for the belief, but those depending entirely upon luck are nearly always disappointed, because they overlook another important factor which must be present before one can become sure of success. It is the knowledge with which favorable breaks can be made to order. During the Depression, W.C. Fields, the comedian, lost all his money and found himself without income, without a job, and his means of earning a living, vaudeville, no longer existed. Moreover, he was past 60 when many men consider themselves old. He was so eager to stage a comeback that he offered to work without pay in a new field, movies. In addition to his other troubles, he fell and injured his neck. To many, that would have been the place to give up and quit. But Fields was persistent. He knew that if he carried on, he would get the break sooner or later, and he did get them, but not by chance. Mary Dressler found herself down and out, with her money gone, with no job, when she was about 60. She, too, went after the breaks and got them. Her persistence brought an astounding triumph late in life, long beyond the age when most men and women are done with ambition to achieve. Eddie Cantor lost his money in the 29 stock crash, but he still had his persistence and his courage. With these, plus two prominent eyes, he exploited himself back into an income of $10,000 a week. Verily, if one has persistence, one can get along very well without many other qualities. The only break anyone can afford to rely upon is a self-made break. These come through the application of persistence. The starting point is definiteness of purpose. Examine the first 100 people you meet. Ask them what they want most in life, and 98 of them will not be able to tell you. If you press them for an answer, some will say security, and some will say money. A few will say happiness, others will say fame and power, and still others will say social recognition, ease in living, ability to sing, dance, or write. But none of them will be able to define these terms or give the slightest indication of a plan by which they hope to attain these vaguely expressed wishes. Riches do not respond to wishes. They respond only to definite plans backed by definite desires through constant persistence. How to develop persistence, and we're almost done here. These are four simple steps which lead to the habit of persistence. They call for no great amount of intelligence, no particular amount of education, and but little time or effort. The necessary steps are A, a definite purpose backed by burning desire for its fulfillment. 2, a definite plan expressed in continuous action. 3, a mind closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, including negative suggestions of relatives, friends, and acquaintances. 4, a friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage one to follow through with both plan and purpose. These four steps are essential for success in all walks of life. The entire purpose of the 13 principles of this philosophy is to enable one to take these four steps as a matter of habit. These are the steps by which one may control one's economic destiny. They are the steps that lead to freedom and independence of thought. They are the steps that lead to riches in small or great quantities. They lead the way to power, fame, and worldly recognition. They are the four steps which guarantee favorable breaks. They are the steps that convert dreams into physical realities. They lead also to the mastery of fear, discouragement, indifference. There is a magnificent reward for all who learn to take these four steps. It is the privilege of writing one's own ticket and of making life yield whatever price is asked. So let's cover these four steps one more time, and then we'll open the call up for discussion. 1, a definite purpose backed by burning desire for its fulfillment. 2, a definite plan expressed in continuous action. 3, a mind closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, including negative suggestions of relatives, friends, and acquaintances. And 4, a friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage one to follow through with both plan and purpose. Let me open up the lines, my friends. Star 6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear from you today. Good morning. Who's there? I just heard someone come on.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Great to hear you today, Rick.
Doing fantastic, fantastic. How is Southeast Idaho, my friend?
It is beautiful. We're coming into we're coming into springtime, and I lifted up the blind on my window and noticed looks like we got about an inch of snow covered everywhere. So never mind. It's snowing. But yeah, it's
great.
Good.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much a follow-up from yesterday on persistent. And basically, you have to keep on keeping on till you get what you want. You keep on retooling, be flexible, checking to make sure that what you're getting is, you know, it's taking you closer to your goal. You know, you don't want to fool yourself. You know, you don't want to get in a situation where it's not well-suited for really your needs, you know. You're looking to make you're in a position where, for example, hey, listen, you need to make $10,000 in a certain amount of time, and you're not able to do it with the kind of vehicle you have. And so certain things, you have to be willing to be flexible, recognize that where you're going and what you're doing is not going to take you there, or vice versa. Or where do I need? Do I need to get more help? Do I need more information? What do I need? Is it possible with the level of skills I have? But persistence, in addition to that, is making sure, because you cannot get to where you're going by going 95% of the way, not even 99% of the way. You just not to get there. So you have to go all the way. You keep on keeping on. And you know what they say, a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. So keep on persistent. It's like the little drop of water coming off the rooftop. And keep on persistent, consistent, and that little drop of water will bore a hole in the concrete. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Just a little drop of water. Little by little, boom, 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 boom. Next thing you know, after weeks, after months, that little water keep going. Voila, bores a hole in the concrete. Persistence, man. You keep on knocking and huffing and puffing, and you're just going to blow that little door down and get in where you want to go. That's pretty much what I had to say this morning about persistence. And we all know what we need to do. You make a commitment, it's basically, you know, by default, you're saying that I'm going to do what it takes, what's necessary. That's pretty much it. We know about this stuff. We know this. So we just keep on pressing on. That's all there is to it. Back to you, Paul.
Appreciate those thoughts, Rick. As always, thanks for never being afraid to step out and share the wisdom that you have accumulated thus far in your life and your experience. Appreciate that. And I love that line that you shared, a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. We could repeat that to ourselves again and again and again and again until we have it deep down within our souls, because it's so true. The only way you're guaranteed to fail, as Mike Hobbs said yesterday, is if you quit. And if you commit to never quitting, odds are you're going to be successful, regardless of maybe even how good your plan is. And I just real quick, I got to share something with everybody. I used to know or be familiar with the owner of a network marketing company that actually does, at this point in time, $1 billion a year in sales. And one of his favorite stories that he used to love to tell the sales force at big meetings and conventions and so forth, he used to tell the story of this lady. I believe she lived over in Washington, and she built a team of over 1,000 people, active customers. And he loved to tell the story of how she did it. What she would do is she would stand out on a street corner with this cleaning solution that was manufactured by this company. And as people would walk by, she would ask them if she could clean their rings. And as he told the story, he would tell people, you know, he would tell everyone about how this lady, she was a little bit disheveled. She maybe had some breath that was a little bit unsavory, and she just wasn't the most attractive sight standing there on the street corner asking people if she could clean their rings. But what did she have? She had persistence, and through just sheer power of will and not giving up, she built a team of over 1,000 people. So I love that story, because it illustrates kind of what Napoleon's talking about here. We don't even have to have a perfect plan. We just have to have a sound plan expressed in continuous action, and do not quit. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
This is Melody. Quite frankly, I think I bought glass cleaner from that person that stopped me in the store and cleaned my glasses.
There you go.
But as I opened my blinds this morning, it is just so beautiful. And it reminds me of persistence, because there was nothing here but a tree when I moved in 25 years ago. And I just kept doing something, 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 something. And it is shades of purples and pinks and colors and textures. And it is just beautiful, just from every year something. So much has grown from 25 years of just continually doing something and persisting that this was going to be a beautiful property. And I can apply that to business. So thank you, and back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melody. Thank you for that colorful description of persistence, and that's beautiful. Thank you.
Paul, good morning. This is Marlies.
Good morning, Marlies.
I'm up here in Denver listening to the call yesterday in the car. But what I wanted to bring up is the fear of being criticized. I think that is the most pernicious of feelings. If you are afraid of being criticized for anything that you plan to do or share with someone else. And I remember when my boy was little, he once mentioned, "Mommy, do you know this? You know, stick and stones will hurt your bones, but words will never hurt you." And I thought about it, said, but that is totally false. That is definitely something that is not based on truth, because it's just the opposite. Nothing is more, I think, devastating for us, for our soul, for our peace of mind, for our self-esteem, than being criticized. And it could be just one word, one sentence. And I have to think back, and I don't mind sharing that. It was in first grade, and that is still so indelibly printed, you know, on my mind. It was just so devastating. And I'm sure we all have had experiences like that, and especially when we were so small, when we were so vulnerable, and we just believed everything, right, that other people, and especially adults, you know, would say. So I know of many experiences that other people were sharing with me that always happened in school or in class, right? But we were asked to just put our hands, you know, on the table in front of us. And she walked around and she wanted to be sure that everybody had clean hands, you know, before they had gone to school. And I know I was a little kid, and we had a business, we had a woman who took care of us, but nobody paid attention to whether I washed my hands before I went to school. So I actually was the one who had to get up and show that I was the one with the dirtiest hands. And, oh, gosh, that was the most devastating. And, of course, I already was a very, very shy person. No, nobody believes that now, but I used to have so many inferiority complexes. But that would be one of that. And also growing up, especially in Europe at that time, it would be, you know, kids and children can be seen but not heard, right? So we were not given that much recognition. So really growing up with a lot of fears, especially of being criticized. And it shows you that everything that we learn from childhood on, we can make a change. We can learn and grow and read these books and surround ourselves and with people, you know, who want the good for us. And that's why I find having discovered also a network marketing company that is still around now, it's going to celebrate its 50th anniversary next year. I'm just so grateful that I was connected with a company that had very strong values and spiritual values and had integrity, and therefore I could really believe in it. And it was basically created to help women and people to believe in themselves and believe in each other, to always look for the good in everyone. And that's why I love this particular chapter of the book, because it really points out again how incredibly, you know, absolutely devastating any kind of criticism is if you choose to accept that for yourself. And then looking at these individuals who went beyond that, or as he said, that we just totally, because the expression, you have read it, it was so wonderful, that we totally are immune and actually have a close mind to anyone who wants to criticize us, that we just are not, you know, that we just don't even accept anything like that. And I find this may have happened to those who are in our current business or anybody in a relationship market business, that we do come across that all the time, especially those that I feel who don't dare to step out many times. They are comfortable in whatever box they find themselves in. And in a way, it's also kind of telling you, look, you stay where you are because I choose to stay where I am, and I don't want anybody to go beyond that. And we also see the more successful you become, the circle of friends in a way may become small, not smaller necessarily, but it will change. It will change because those who don't want to step out of their comfort zone and want to achieve and want to grow are not going to feel comfortable with you and your surrounding. And I know we are going to change with the circle of friends as we grow. And that is a good thing, as long as it's always in a positive way. But I just wanted to point that out yet. That really struck a bell about criticism. That is something we have to be the most careful about, to never allow anyone to really beat us down or stop us in our track, but instead say, hey, you know, this is going to give me even more incentive. I'm going to be even more excited now about showing that I can do it because I believe in it, and I'm just going to move forward. So there's a lot around this, and I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Thank you, Marlise.
Yeah, this is Greg out of Jacksonville, Florida.
Good morning, Greg.
First of all, I wanted to thank you guys for this call, the mindset call. It's really helping me in a lot of areas. But I wanted to talk about that persistent thing, you know, and when you were reading about the people that lost things and then they had the persistence to recover from that, their losses. And I think it would be safe to say that many of us that's on this call, if not all, have lost something in this economy. But none of us have lost anything material that we cannot get back. And to lend credence to that, one of my favorite stories in the scriptures, in the book of the King, when David and his people went out to battle and they came back to their camp, their wives, their kids, and all of their possessions were gone. The enemy had come and stole all their stuff, so David went into prayer and was talking to the Lord about it and asked the Lord, should we pursue after this company? And the Lord told them to pursue. You know, go and take back what the enemy has taken from you. You know, and they did just what the Lord told them to do, and they recovered all. Nothing was lost. They recovered it all. And, you know, and we got to have that same resolve that when we've lost our things, you know, regardless whether we still have our life, you know, so therefore we can go and recover the things that we've lost. And to know that, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's something the enemy has put in us. But God has given us the power of love and I'm sorry about this, man. I'm a little nervous. but he's given us love, power, and a sound mind. You know, he's given us the things that we need, and we just need to pursue and take back what the enemy has taken from us. And that's all I have to say.
Appreciate those thoughts, Greg. And it's absolutely true. There's nothing that cannot be regained. In speaking of material things, we can lose everything. And in fact, when we study the lives of very successful people, many times, more often than not, we see that those folks have been to a point once, twice, maybe even more, that they've lost everything. But as Rick pointed out earlier, a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. As long as we make that resolve to never, ever quit, get back up off the ground when we fall down, we can never be defeated. Appreciate those thoughts. And also, Marlise, thank you so much for extracting that crucial idea from this text that we covered this morning, that crucial philosophy of, or not necessarily philosophy, but that concept of the fear of criticism, which has held me back so much in my life, and I guarantee it's held every person back at one point in their lives, and could be holding people back right now at this point in their life. So many people that I talk to in the business, and we talk about, you know, all right, who are we going to share this with? Well, I don't want to talk to these people. I've already talked to them about this and that and the other, and what are they going to think of me? And you know, it's like, well, are you living your life, or are you allowing other people to live your life? Who cares what other people are going to think? You know what you want. We got to go out and get it. So one, just while we're on that topic of fair criticism, One powerful belief that I've been working on embedding into my subconscious mind is I don't worry about what other people think, do, or say. That's one line that I repeat to myself in my affirmations, and that one little line repeated over and over again to myself has truly liberated me to go out and step forth and perform the actions necessary that I need to perform to provide for my family. And I would encourage all on the call to strive to adopt that belief. Live your life by your wishes and your desires and not by what other people may or may not think, do, or say in regards to you and what you're doing. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, it's Greg from Minnesota.
Hey, Greg, good morning.
Hey, thank you so much. Just to kind of say a few things about persistence, you know, I think I sent you an email yesterday about Vince Lombardi, one of the greatest football coaches ever, ever coached the game. And I firmly believe with great persistence, it takes commitment. And from Vince Lombardi, once a man has made a commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something we call heart power. Once a man has made his commitment, nothing will stop him short of success. With that, I also believe, you know, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. With commitment comes success. A man can be as great as he wants to be if you believe in yourself and have the courage, the determination, the dedication, the competitive drive, and if you are willing to sacrifice the little things in life and pay for the price for the things that are worthwhile, it can be done. Vince Lombardi, great man. Back to you, Paul.
Greg, awesome thoughts. Thank you so much for sharing those from Mr. Lombardi. Appreciate that. Very inspiring.
Good morning, Paul. This is Bill Winch.
Bill Winch, good morning.
Good morning. I want to share a story about persistence. I knew a gentleman who I used to work for by the name of Fred Kasner. And Fred was involved in some of the beginning stages of the cruise line industry, where today it's so popular and they have these huge ships. But he decided he had a travel company, and he decided that he was going to get into the industry. So what he did is he got this small ship called the Britannus from Chandris, and he wanted it so bad he went out on the corner down in Miami, and he sold tickets. He was the president of his company. He went out on the street corner and sold tickets one by one to fill up that ship. That ship eventually turned into the whole fleet of a company named Chandris Cruise Lines, which is now called Celebrity Cruise Lines, of which you see out there with a big X on their stack. And the thing that the name of that company is Liberty Travel and Go-Go Tours. And Fred has now died. He died with cancer here back a few years back. But he was the most persistent individual I've ever worked for and met. He just, when he got an idea in his head, he just never stopped until he completed it. And that was just one where a president of a company actually took something out on the corner and sold tickets to a cruise to start building his big cruise business. So back to you, Paul.
Amazing story, Bill. Thank you for sharing. Man, owner of a cruise line selling tickets on the street to fill up the ship. That's very impressive.
Paul, good morning. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc Fran.
And good morning to everyone. I want to applaud Greg for speaking out here this morning. And, you know, he simultaneously demonstrated the conquering of two of the major fears that all of us face. One of them is fear of public speaking, and two, the fear of criticism. And, Greg, not only did you have a wonderful message for all of us this morning, but you delivered it absolutely eloquently. So very well done on your courage there. I want to touch on a couple of the aspects. We always talk about winners never quit and quitters never win. And with regards to persistence, there's also another very common truth, and that is that people tend to quit when they're on the 1-yard line. when they're almost at their goal. And all of the stories that Napoleon told us this morning indicate that without actually stating it. Everyone who sought their fame and fortune on Broadway stayed the course even after that last no or that last disappointment. And instead of allowing themselves to give up on their dream, they made that one last effort. And in these 16 enemies of persistence, I think that one of the ones that's most prevalent for those of us who pursue our dreams within this home-based business arena is number 15, and that is searching for the shortcuts to riches. And we, because of what we've talked about in the past, of the privilege of growing up in this phenomenally abundant country, in this phenomenally abundant world, have insidiously been bred to believe that we need things faster. And so the time becomes one of our enemies to practicing persistence in the pursuit of our goals. And we get seduced by the idea of quick money. The lure of easy money. It's even a phrase from a movie. And then the last thing I wanted to do is just tell a true story that happened this week with an outstanding leader in our company. And a young man who is recognized as a major leader spent 3.5 hours attempting to work through the challenges of a computer system trying to upload a list of people into AWeber. And after staying the course for that whole period of time, immediately then went on and continued his daily activity of making outreach calls, putting up with the no answers, the wrong numbers, the negative results, and proceeded to actually have 3 successful enrollments of individuals in that very same afternoon. And, of course, many of you on the call have already figured out who that leader is, and that's none other than our leader of this call, Paul Hutchings. So thank you for your demonstration of persistence on your goal, and back to you.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate those thoughts. And the compliment. Thank you. Want more? As Melvin teaches us to. Yes, go ahead.
Paul, this is Ernie here. I'm actually calling from Pennsylvania today, and it's beautiful here.
Oh, great.
I just want to borrow everyone's time, and yes, I would like to actually applaud you on your persistence as well. It sure helps me to learn of a way. And that's one thing we have to do. We have to find someone who is doing the thing that we desire to do and notice of the ways that they are doing it well. We are all getting on this call out of passion, and that's one thing that will drive us to success over anything else we want to do. We have to find the things in our life that make us passionate. And I've shared an example before on this call of the fear of criticism, where I actually reached out to a close friend of mine about the business that I'm in, and I explained to him about the business and the money to be made. And it was only a day or so later, I heard tell of him actually relaying the story that I shared with him about the company with a friend of his, and how he was actually criticizing how I could not make this kind of money. It just couldn't be done. Well, the person he actually spoke to behind the scenes contacted me and said, "Hey, what is this information he's telling me about?" And they had a real desire to know. And so I actually enrolled that person. And so the person I actually firsthand relayed this information to about the company actually went out as a free salesman. He worked for me even though he didn't realize it, and criticized my business and actually got me a lead. So we can't be fearful. We can use the ones that actually look down on us for what we're trying to do and how we're bettering ourselves, and actually just use that as practice in our own life to learn more about this. the business that we're in. We have to, while we're not succeeding in what we believe as our success, we have to take that time to realize what it is we do believe so that we can be more passionate when we portray it to others and find out why it is that they need the business that we're trying to approach them with. Why do they need that in their life? Why was I compelled, or why did I meet them that day? Why was it that higher power put me in front of that person and needed to hear the words that I had to say? So I'm more than grateful to come on this call and to be able to just listen to everyone on this call and find the passion in the words that they're saying so that I can look into my own life and my own experiences and relate them to what they have gone through and be able to help relate to the people I actually approach and find their need. I'm very blessed by this company that I'm involved with. I'm very blessed to be enlightened with this call. And that's what we're on this earth to do, I do believe, just enlighten people and help people to find their smile. Every day is just about smiling. No matter what your circumstance is, just smile, and you will attract the same thing. I thank each of you for letting me borrow your time. And I'm so much looking forward to be on this call continuously out of passion. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Ernie, thank you. We all feel that you are a blessing to us and really appreciate you investing your time and sharing with each of us. And what a great story. Good for you. Fantastic. Well done.
Well, I wanted to say something here this morning, two things really, on this persistence and repetition. You know how in the mornings people say after they get done speaking, right back to you, Paul. I noticed myself saying that this morning, and that's basically from repetition. It started with one person, then you have another person start doing it. And so when you hear stuff over and over and over, it becomes a part of you, and you automatically start adopting it. And so it's a great reminder that being persistent and being on this call every day, you're going to get so. You see, you just be part of it every day. You don't miss it. You see, you want to, businesses are built on momentum, and we have momentum here. Momentum is here. And another thing I wanted to basically piggyback off what Doc Fran was talking about, you know, and the moment that somebody's working the business and they get discouraged and decided to quit, remember this, that success is right on the other side of failure. That very moment, you deciding, just go at it one more time. In fact, you start over another 90 days and you realize you have a lot more. You're not starting over fresh. You're a lot more further ahead. You know a lot more than you did before. And now you can seek counsel. Seek counseling. It's so important. This call is general counseling. This is general. You can't take anything here personally. And you listen to the calls here, seek a counseling. You have to have counsel. You have to seek information and get the information for people who are in this business and have done the things that you're trying to get to. It's so important that counseling, and never be afraid to call. Never be afraid to call. When you call, people know that you're there. They know that you're in the business. You're in the business to build a business. You know, you're going to find three types of people in this business. There are people who join your business and do nothing. They just want to be a part of something. There are people who are committed to the business, but they don't build a business. There are people who are committed to building a business. Okay, recognize those and realize that they're there. And you'll find that you'll have less frustration in the business. Once you recognize that, you will realize who you work with and who you put your time with. Right back to you, Paul.
Excellent. Thanks, Rick. Star 6, anyone else want to jump out here? We've got about 11 minutes left. Plenty of time. Really enjoying the discussion today.
Good morning, Paul. It's Lindy.
Good morning, Lindy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. You know, that Rick just hit on something that struck me when Doc Fran was telling his lovely story about you, and that is your commitment. No matter what little bumps are in the road, no matter what is going to pull you off your path, you get through it and you get right back on your path and you just are committed to keep on going. And that is just something really rare out there. You know, people will use things like that as excuses, and they really are doing themselves a disservice by doing that. So that's all I have to say about that. This is awesome. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Lindy.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, go ahead.
John Miller, down in Sacramento.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to state just one thing. Thank you for being here. You're definitely an inspiration to me, and I'm sure everybody else. And you're right. Commitment is the answer. Persistence and commitment. Thanks a lot. Back to you.
John, I surely do appreciate that. And appreciate everyone's comments today. It's been an amazing call, and appreciate the kind words that have been expressed about me. One of the greatest compliments I think you can ever give me is the expression of, you know, this idea that sometimes you see me doing some of the things that I try to teach other people they should do. That is it really is a great compliment. So appreciate those thoughts, and love each of you. Star 6, anyone else want to come out here? We've got about 9 minutes left. We'd love to hear from you. Don't be shy. You want to conquer your fear of criticism. You want to conquer your fear of public speaking, as Greg did earlier on the call, as Doc Friend pointed out. Now would be the time. We'd love to hear you do that.
Paul, it's Richard from Dallas.
Hey, Richard. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, just want to let you know, I signed up with you. It's probably been two and a half weeks, and just seeing you and hearing everybody, this is like my fourth time on this call, and it's just so invigorating and enlightening, that the energy that comes out of these calls. And out of 2 weeks in this business, I've already signed up my first PC, already got an application filled out for my next one, so I'm ready. I'm jumped in with both feet, and I haven't stopped since. And it's funny how the energy that you that I have about this company, it everybody feeds off of that. And as long as you love what you're doing, it's not a job. I mean, it's a livelihood. I mean, I love what I'm doing with this company, and it shows. And I'm being persistent in what I'm doing, and just following in the footsteps of you and Doc Fran and everybody on this in this wonderful company. And it's just so enlightening to know that it's not hard if you love what you're doing, and just keep at it and don't quit. And yeah, there's going to be bumps in the road, but man, I tell you what, the grass is definitely greener on the other side as soon as you get there. So I love everybody. I appreciate it. And back to you, Paul.
Great, great thoughts, Richard, and appreciate you. I know that you have a lot of passion, and I feel very fortunate to be working with you, and well done on your success so far. First enrollment, already have a completed application for your second enrollment. My friend, you are on the road to greatness. Keep up the great work. Star 6, who else wants to jump out here?
Hello?
Hello.
This is Jetty Peterson.
Hi, Jetty. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Great to hear your voice today.
Just wanted to let you know, I got in the last of March. I mean, of February. I don't even know when. Anyway, I have my first PC, and I'm really enjoying this class. I can't make it every time, but I do try. But I enjoy the persistent class. That is good. I've been in marketing since 07, and I've been in several different programs, but never found one that fit me until now. This is wonderful. Everybody seems to help each other, and that is so good. And that's this is where I belong. I have a very good upline. Everybody's been so nice, so helpful, and everybody needs that. Makes you feel like home. Anyway, just wanted to jump in and say thank you for everything that you do and everybody does. I enjoy all the talks and the trials and tribulations that everybody has. I have mine, but I'm not ready to tell everything just yet. I will later. Anyway, thank you very much for letting me talk. Back to you, Paul.
Jetty, thank you. Welcome to the team. Welcome to the call. And thank you so much for sharing those wonderful words this morning.
Thank you for letting me.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm early in Chicago.
Great to hear your voice, my friend.
Yeah, it's Merle the turtle.
You know, those turtles are persistent.
Moving slow, but I'm moving steady. It's really been a great call this morning. And persistence, it will pay off. I've been in the brick and mortar business. I've been in all types of stuff. But I do know that if you stay in there, don't quit. Just don't quit. And whatever obstacles that in your way, eventually you'll either learn to go around them or you'll either learn to go over them. So all we have to do is just stay persistent. Doesn't matter how slow you seem to go, stay persistent, and it will work out. So back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Merle. Great thoughts. Appreciate those. And I love your persistence. You're on the call every single day. You come out and share your thoughts and ideas many, many times. Appreciate your example of persistence and being a part of this call, my friend.
Well, it's kind of like I said before. We have to learn to learn. And sometimes you don't always learn, you know, if your mouth is open, sometimes your ears are closed. So we just have to keep our mouth shut sometime and learn. Back to you.
I love that. If your mouth is open, sometimes your ears are closed. That's great.
That's true.
It's so true. Thank you. Definitely jotting that one down.
Paul Todd Young.
Hey, good morning, Todd.
Good morning, everybody. And good morning, Paul. You know, that was a very wise thing that the gentleman just said. And I want to tell you that since I have been in your organization now for, you know, a little over a month, month and a half, I really make these calls mandatory to the folks that are on board my team. And it's amazing that the folks that show up for these calls, how quickly, just by listening, I can tell that their mindset has changed completely, which allows them to communicate with me in this business. And, you know, for folks that are listening to these recordings and are on these calls, I want to thank you as well, because you folks are the ones that are speaking up and giving your thoughts and what your beliefs are about this book and these chapters that Paul goes through. And my team is listening to you folks. And you folks on this call, you know, in my opinion, have incredible talent, have an incredible mindset yourself, and your mindset, which are parallel to this book that we're going over on this call, is what is actually helping my team grow. It's helping me grow, and we're all students. And, Paul, I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody on the call. And I want to thank my team for making it on these calls as well, because they're really the starting point of your business. Thought is the starting point of wherever it is that you want to go in life. And I'm a firm believer in that. I'm more than a believer. I'm a knower, and because I've seen these things happen concretely in my life, and they're happening now again with folks that I'm putting on these calls. So that's why, to me, it's always important for my team to be here so they can listen to you folks, which in turn raises their belief level and changes their mindset about this language that we call, you know, home-based business and network marketing. Paul, thanks again. Over to you.
Todd, thank you, my friend. You said something the other day. You say so many things that stick with me. I don't know if you realize that or not, but many of the things you say are so wise and so profound that they just stick with me. And one of the things you shared with me is you were talking to one of your team members, and you asked if they'd been getting on the call, and they're like, no. And you said, well, you know, you need to get on the call. And they're like, why? And you said, because the more something about if you're not on the call, you're working against me while I'm trying to work for you. And everything I'm doing to coach you, you're just, you know, you're kicking against the, I'm kicking against the prick, so to speak, to use a scriptural term. You know, they're just going against you. And I thought that was so profound and so true. And I love your thoughts this morning, because what you just shared, Todd, is the whole purpose of this call. The whole purpose is so that anybody, anywhere, can pick up the phone, dial in, listen to wise truths that are eternal, and also hear experiences and stories and elaborations on those truths from wise people all across the, hopefully eventually the world, right now the U.S., maybe some in Canada, but can plug in and literally have these ideas bathe their minds and transform their mindset and their beliefs, and everything you just described is the whole purpose of this call. So thank you for pointing that out, and thank you for being a great part of this call, my friend. That being said, let's close out, folks. Appreciate everyone. Let's get out there today, Fabulous Friday. Let us have faith in ourselves, faith in the infinite, faith in our major definite purpose, the knowledge that greatness does lie before us if we will but learn, understand, and apply some of these simple truths that we cover on this call every morning: faith, planning, action, persistence, mastermind, never giving up, all of these things we're talking about. We do have greatness before us. Let's get out there today and let us follow through with our plan. Let us take action. Let us kick aside any temporary setback that may come in our way. And have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Take care.